Will you please turn to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 22, 33 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Now the God of peace himself sanctify your holy and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful who calls you, who will also perform it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we begin with verse 12 to 20. All things are lawful to me, but all things do not profit. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God will bring to nothing both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord, and will raise us up from among the dead by his power. Do you not know that your bodies of members of Christ? Shall I then, taking the members of the Christ, make them members of a harlot? Far be the thought. Do ye not know that he that is joined to the harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin which a man may practice is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Do ye not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own. For ye have been bought with a price. Glorify now then God in your body. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we are in thy presence, we do look to thee to speak to us through thy word, by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be brought into thy truth and allow thee to be glorified in our bodies. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We have been considering together on this matter of being holy, sanctified. It is God himself who will do this work because it is God's purpose that our whole being, our spirit and soul and body be wholly set apart for his purpose. That at his coming, we will be blameless. And he promises us that he will perform it. So dear brothers and sisters, we do thank the Lord that this is a work that not only he desires, but this is a work that he himself will perform. The only thing for us is, are we willing to yield ourselves our whole being, spirit and soul and body to him and allowed him to work out this full salvation. Now we have been considering together on this matter of how our spirit is being wholly sanctified and also how our soul is being wholly sanctified. And this morning we will come into this matter of our body. Our body is to be wholly sanctified, set apart for the Lord, and be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, so far as the world is concerned, the body seems to be everything to them. They live for their body. They live for eating, drinking, and clothing. That is their life. Or to put it another way, they worship their body. We know this is not God's will. But we who are redeemed by the Lord, strangely, we neglect our body. Sometimes we even abuse our body. We do not really understand what our body is for. So, brothers and sisters, we want to consider together the Bible sense of our body. This is very personal. It affects every one of us. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we may have an understanding of our own body. First of all, God is the one who creates our body. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it is said, God took the red earth, the dust of the earth, and formed it into the form of a man. So in other words, our body is made of dust, of earth, of red earth. And yet, God has done such a marvelous work. Just think of it. God uses the most common, cheap, worthless materials and build us a body that is a marvel, a wonder. So you remember the psalmist David in Psalm 139 verse 14. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Brothers and sisters, look at your own body. Think of the material that God uses to make your body. And then consider what a wonderful body you have. It is fearful in a sense. If you really understand what your body is, it is fearful, awesome, marvelous, wonderful. Our body can do so much. And what we have been doing actually is just using a part of it, not a whole of it. And yet, God has done marvelously. But remember, God gives us a body for a reason. It is not just that we may enjoy ourselves, use it as it pleases us. God gives us a body that we may glorify Him in all the things that we do. To put it another way, God gives us a body that we may be useful to Him. That we may be useful to His purpose. Our body, in a sense, is made of matters. But it is known by its functions. We have five senses. We can see. We can hear. We can smell. We can taste. We can touch. And by these five senses, we are in communication with the world around us. We know what's going on. But unfortunately, man sinned. And when man sinned, you know what happened to man? The Bible said, on the day that you eat the forbidden fruit, you shall die. A death sentence is pronounced over sin. And we know the moment our forefather sinned, his spirit was dead unto God. In other words, his spirit has lost its communication with God. The spirit as an organ is still there. It still has its function, but it has lost its proper function. And that is what the scripture considers as dead. But then, how about our soul? In one sense, it is true, our soul lives on actively, still functioning. And yet, in another sense, in the sight of God, it is dead. Because you remember the Bible says, you who were once dead in sins and transgressions. Because our soul has fallen. Our soul is dominated, ruled, not by God, but by sin. And therefore you find that all the functions of our soul turned hell-wide. Our understanding was darkened. Our will was alienated from the life of God and decided selfishly. And even our emotion was out of control. So far as God is concerned, our soul was also dead. And how about our body? The body seems to be still alive and still able to contact the world around us. But so far as God is concerned, it is a dead body. Why? Because you remember, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it mentioned the body of sin. And then in Romans 7, it mentioned 24. It mentioned the body of death. In Romans 6 says our body, this body of sin is annulled. And then in Romans chapter 7 verse 24, who can deliver me from this body of death? Thank God through Jesus Christ. So far as God is concerned, even our body is now a body of sin and a body of death. To put it another way, the body is still there, is still living, but it is under the domination of sin, and it is under the law of death. By the law of sin, it simply means you do what you should not do. And that's what your body is doing. By the law of death, it means that you cannot do what you should do. You cannot do the will of God. And that is death. So, brothers and sisters, to those who were not redeemed, before we were redeemed, that's what we are. To the world, we seem to be living. But to God, we were dead. Sin ruled over us. Self became the life of our soul. And our spirit was completely disconnected to God. That was the pitiful situation of man. But thank God, who was rich in mercy, and in his great love, he came to us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he redeemed us. Not only he restored, cleansed, and make our spirit anew, that we may have communion with God again, he also redeemed our soul, deliver our soul from the domination of self, and let Christ be enthroned in our soul. So our soul will express Christ instead of ourselves. That's the salvation of the soul. And that is something that is going on throughout our Christian life. Now, how about our body? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are reminded, do you know that you are bought with a price? We were like slaves in the slave market. And our Lord Jesus came. He paid a tremendous price. Even his own life, his own blood, to buy us to himself. So brothers and sisters, so far as our body is concerned, we are bought. He bought us out of sin, out of death. And he bought us for himself. And that's the reason why when we believe in the Lord Jesus, our body becomes the temple of God. In other words, God's original purpose for our body begins to be recovered. Our body becomes a temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Our body becomes members of Christ. Now think of that. This body is now a member of Christ. Because we together are the body of Christ. And each one of us is a member of that body of Christ. Now how glorious, how noble is our body now. Brothers and sisters, do you really see this? Your body is a member of Christ. Whoever touches that body touches Christ. Your body is a temple of God. Whoever corrupts a temple will be corrupted. So here you'll find the glorious redemption. But remember, this redemption of our body is positionally complete, but conditionally it is yet to be completed. In other words, when we are saved, our body is being bought and bring back to God, becoming a member of the body of the body of Christ, and becoming the temple of God, and all the potentials of full recovery are there. But these potentials need to be processed and need to be fulfilled. So that is the condition of our body. Now, if this is the case, what should be our attitude towards our body? What should be our response to the great love of God in redeeming us? How should we look at our body today? Now, when you look into Romans chapter 6, for instance, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it said, our old man has been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be annulled, that we shall no longer serve sin. Here you find our old man was crucified with Christ. Now we mentioned last time, God's way of delivering us from the power of sin is by the principle of isolation. In other words, sin that dwells in our soul is as a master. Now, formally, God is the master who lives in our spirit. But because our spirit was dead, so you find that sin instead dwells in our soul and becomes the master of our being. And then sin through our flesh. He will direct our soul, our fallen soul, that is a flesh. He will order our fallen soul. And our fallen soul will submit to that order and transmit it to our body to act it out. That is to commit sin. Now that is the process. And now how God deliver us from the power of sin? By isolation. Sin is still there. Sin as a nature, as a law, or what theologically said original sin, it is still in you. You are not delivered from that until you die. But it is now being isolated because the old man was crucified with Christ. You know, sin can only direct the fallen soul, the flesh, the old man. And now the old man was dead. So sin was isolated. It couldn't order our body to commit sin. And for this reason, the Bible said the body of sin was annulled. Now, annulled doesn't mean destroyed. No more. Annihilated. Annulled means disemployed. Disemployed. Our body was employed by sin. But now, the master couldn't reach us. So the body becomes unemployed. Nothing to do. But it shouldn't be unemployed for long. In other words, when Christ bought us, redeemed us, then this body that has been unemployed needs to be re-employed under new management. No longer under sin, but under Christ. So that's the reason why you'll find in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says, neither yield your members, instrument of unrighteousness, to sin, but yield yourselves to God as alive from among the dead, and your members, instruments of righteousness to God. Since you have been unemployed, separated from sin, now, what should you do with your body? Don't yield your members to unrighteousness anymore, because you're dead to sin. But instead, yield your members to righteousness unto holiness. Unto God. To be an instrument of righteousness to God. And that is the same thing as you'll find in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, reasonable service. In other words, you are now under new management. So brothers and sisters, this is what you should do. After you have believed in the Lord Jesus, after you have been bought with a price, what are you going to do with your body? Don't yield your body, your members of your body, to unrighteousness, because you were dead to sin. But instead, you should present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Lord, you have bought me and set me free. I'm willing to serve you all my life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you may prove what is the perfect, acceptable, good will of God. In other words, from now on, your body is to be used by God and is to do His will and serve God. That's just what your body is for. Remember, your body is not your own. Before you were saved, your body was under sin. But now, after you're redeemed, you are not your own. You are God's. You belong to Him. And therefore, serve Him with your whole heart. That is how you use your body. I remember long ago, I read about a story. During the First World War, one day when the soldiers were being transported on train to the front, and they had nothing to do, so some soldiers began to play cards. But they need four people for that play, and they had only three. So they saw a soldier sitting by, and they asked the soldier, come and join us. And that soldier said, I have no hand. They look at him. He has hands. So they said, what do you mean? Well, she said, this hand is not mine. I cannot use it as it I please. This hand belongs to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that should be our attitude towards our bodies, towards the members of our body. Do not think that you can use your body as you please. It is not yours. It is the Lord's. Therefore, we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, consecration is not optional. Consecration is mandatory. Every child of God, redeemed by the Lord, constrained by the love of Christ, must present their bodies a living sacrifice. That is to say, live sacrificially for God. You cannot do with your body as you please. Think of our Lord Jesus. Before He came into this world, the psalmist, in Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, prophesied, saying that sacrifice and oblation God does not want, but you have prepared me an ear. And in the original, it says a pierced ear, a hollowed out ear. Lo, I come to do your will. Your law is in my heart. Now, this prophecy is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 7, it is quoted. And there it quotes. It doesn't say an ear. It said a body. Thou hast prepared me a body. This body is to do your will. And that is our Lord Jesus. So all who follows the Lord will do the same thing. We need a pierced ear. And you know in the Old Testament, when a slave so loved his master and his family, he does not want to go out free after 6 years of service. He wants to serve his master for life. And what they do to him, the master will take him to the door and pierce his ear, and he will be a love slave for life. That is what we all are. Why the ear? Because we need to hear him. You cannot serve him if you do not hear him. But actually, it means the whole body. Your whole body, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, everything is his and is meant to be used by him for his glory. So that's the reason why you find the Bible said, do all things for the glory of God. Our body is to be restored to God's original purpose for it. Now, how should we take care of our body? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, bodily exercise is profitable for a little. It is true. The exercise of our body profits us. But it profits for a little. Why? Because it is just for the lifetime. When we have a spiritual body, that bodily exercise is a necessary. And also physical exercise, it profits us to a certain extent, but not as much as exercising of godliness, spiritual exercise. Because spiritual exercise is profitable not only for now, but for the age to come. But still, this is important. In other words, the principle is, because this body of yours belongs to the Lord, therefore God requires that we take good care of our body. And in taking good care of our body, you must eat well, rest well, exercise well. These are our responsibilities. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid, we as Christians seem to be the very opposite. The world worship their body, do everything for their body. The body is their God. But we Christians seem to neglect our body, abuse our body, and do not see our body as anything worthwhile. And unfortunately, we suffer for it. I know what I'm talking about. We have to take care of our body for God. Treat our body carefully, moderately. Do not indulge, do not abuse. You need certain rest. You need proper food. You have a responsibility God has given you. Do not think that you can eat whatever you want to. Do not think that you can do with your body as you like. It's not yours. You have to take care of it for the God's sake, that He may be able to use it. To young people, you need to take good care of your body for the Lord. You need to rest. You need to eat properly. You need to exercise. Now, even older ones, we need to exercise. I'm starting to exercise now. But I neglect it for years and years and years. Because this body belonged to the Lord. Think of it. God has created it so marvelously, so fearfully. And how can we neglect it? Take good care. For the Lord's sake. But on the other hand, put your body under you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, Paul said, I buffet my body to put it underneath me. In other words, do not let your body be your master. Your body is to be your servant, your slave. So do not allow your body to rise above you so that you have to give in to the passions and the lust of your flesh. Put it under so that you control the body. You can use the body for the Lord's sake whenever there is a demand. It is true we need to eat, sleep 8 hours. But when there is a demand, you can have a whole night prayer. Because your body is under you, not you under your body. So brothers and sisters, these are the things that we should understand. I'm afraid we as Christians, we do not really know how to deal with our body. If only we remember, the body is for the Lord. The body is for the Lord. Now, if we remember this very simply, I believe our whole treatment of our body will be completely changed. But, brothers and sisters, this redeemed body today, so far as its material is concerned, hasn't changed. It is still a mortal body. Do not believe, but do not think that because you are saved, you are redeemed, therefore your body has already been immortal. Incorruptible, undefilable, eternal, not at all. This redeemed body today is still mortal because it is still made of earth. One day, by the grace of God, our body will be changed. But today, this is still a mortal body. And because this is still a mortal body, we are still being affected by the circumstances, surroundings around us. And that's the reason why, if there is a flu going around, because you still have a mortal body, you may catch it. If you already have an immortal body, you won't catch it at all. We are still subject to the physical environments, influences around us. And because this is still a mortal body, therefore it can be weakened. Do not think that your body is immortal, therefore it will never be weakened. It can be weakened. Even falling sick. All these are possible. But if the body is for the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord is for the body. Remember this too. People today, they do not use their body for the Lord, and they expect the Lord for their body. You cannot do that. Unless your body is for the Lord, you can expect the Lord for your body. You remember Romans chapter 8, verse 11? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that has raised up Jesus from among the dead dwell in you, He that has raised up Christ from among the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies also, on account of His Spirit which dwells in you. In other words, even this is still a mortal body, you can experience the quickening of the mortal body by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. Because He is the power that raised up Jesus from among the dead. So therefore, today, we can experience this resurrection power, this quickening power to our mortal body, in order that we may do God's will. And this is very, very true. When there is a demand, where there is a calling, where there is a work that God has called you to do, He will quicken your mortal body to do what you ordinarily will not be able to do. So, brothers and sisters, thank God that one day, even this mortal body will be changed into immortal body. That is the time when we have full redemption. That is the time that we receive sonship. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one day when the trumpet shall call, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of the eyes, our mortal body will be changed into immortal body. Our corruptible body will be changed into incorruptible body. And that is the time when death is swallowed up in victory. So, brothers and sisters, we have something to look forward to. Even though today we groan in this body, just like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, he said, our outward man is decaying day by day, but our inward man is renewed all the time. It is not that we want to get rid of this earthly tabernacle, but we long to be clothed with that eternal home, that spiritual body, just as when our Lord was raised from the dead. He has a body, but it is a spiritual body, immortal, incorruptible, cannot be decayed, eternal. Brothers and sisters, one day, this will happen to all of us because of Christ, of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross. That's for redemption. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to remember that the God of peace himself will sanctify us wholly. And our whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who has called us is faithful. He will perform it. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for Thy marvelous salvation. Oh, we do thank Thee that Thou dost save us to the uttermost. Not only our spirit, but our soul and our body. And not only just saved, but wholly sanctified, preserved and blameless for Thyself. Oh, Lord, do pray that Thou will be glorified in us, in our spirit, soul, and body. We ask in Thy precious name.